Good morning, everyone. 921 Talk Radio 930 WTAD, the Mary Griffith Show underway, brought to you by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. And today we have Bruce Guthrie here with the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce. And so much is going on. Are we going to do Chamber Bucks this year?
We always have Chamber Bucks, Mary. You can go online to our website and you can sign up. And you can order your Chamber Bucks. It's all done online now, Mary, and be able to get those for the holiday season, which is, of course, coming up. And we really want to remind everyone, support local. So, yes, go on. You'll have all the information there. You order it all online. It's done digitally now. And you can also list – it'll have a list of the businesses that are participating.
That will accept, yeah. This is a great way because, and again, it's available all year round. We kind of think about it at Christmas because that's the time when sometimes people are giving gifts and gift certificates. But Chamber Bucks are good all year round, and it's a way to guarantee that the gift you give, the money stays in our community. And that's very critically important.
Very critically important in so
now,
many ways.
We want everybody to shop locally, except now we have a reason to like Amazon. You know, I must admit, I'm not a big Amazon user. I'm never going to say that I've never bought anything off Amazon. I'll say I personally have not pushed the buttons, but I have directed my agents. I think I bought 4 things on my life in Amazon. You know, I'm just not into that. I'd like to shop local if I can. These were things that weren't available. So, but now, you know, I don't know what WTAD is going to do for our live local, buy local. You know, we lived by that for so long, but now, gee whiz, Amazon supports our local community too. How excited are you that Amazon is coming to town?
Well, from a Chamber of Commerce, we're just very excited about not only what Amazon's doing, but what's going on in this community. There's so many great projects that are in process or in progress, and also the ones that have been completed. We've got a lot of exciting things going on here from economic development, creating opportunities for many people in this community for jobs and for supporting this community. So, yeah, Amazon coming in, that distribution warehouse is big. We're also seeing it along the Broadway corridor with not only, you know, the Targets and the Canes, but also now with Ollie's and Dunham's, which is just amazing. And we're just really thrilled about the positive economic development in this community. You know, Mary, I talk to people around the country, a lot around the state, and you know what they say to me? They call me and go, "What is going on in Quincy?"
Yeah. We're bucking the trend.
Exactly. This is not happening all over the place like this. And I give a lot of credit to a whole lot of people in the community and the opportunities that we have here, the hub that we have here in this community, how we not only Quincy but also the market of 100 miles or so, and the big things that are going on 54th Street and the projects going on downtown with the new hotel at getting 6th Street done. The great, hopefully good news will be coming soon about coming across the bridge, that welcome in area at the first of the year. There's some really good things cooking. With Atrium being redone, you know, I don't forget, $10 million, or I forget how many millions are going into that project.
It's amazing. I mean, that's amazing. A lot of construction jobs. When you think about that, it's not just for the future, yes, but it's now. It's construction jobs now. And we're making a little bit of progress on housing. You drive around town, you see a few more apartment buildings going up. You see some things that are being converted into housing. It's a little bit promising. You know, we don't want to talk politics per se, but we just had a big election. And now we're going to have a different course for our country than we've had for the last 4 years. Of course, it's like steering the Titanic. I love it when politicians say, the first day I take office, all this is going to happen. Well, Joe Biden didn't get it done. Trump didn't get it done 8 years ago. You know, Obama couldn't get it done the first day in office. So it is going to take time. But from a business perspective, what does this election mean that happened on Tuesday for our nation? What does that mean for the local business economy?
Well, I think one of the things that I heard before the election was that a lot of businesses were being very tentative, and they were and some of it told me, Mary said, it's typical every 4 years on an election where business slows down or everybody's being very watchful on what we're going to do. I heard that. Now, I'm glad a decision has been made. You know, we can be one side or the other. But I think, you know, a lot of optimism going into the future. We need to, you know, we need to stay the course from a national level. We're going to have some big elections coming here next year in 25 for
our local
yes.
politics.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I laughed. I said, well, maybe the housing market will clear up in Quincy. We'll have a lot of openings, because I heard so many people say, if Donald Trump is elected, I'm leaving town. I heard a lot of people say, if Kamala Harris is elected, I'm leaving the country. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if those people...
There's going to be some places open up.
If the pleas are true, then the travel industry and the housing industry should have a boon here, because all these people are going to move. But, you know, the Christmas season, have you got a barometer of how the Christmas season is going to be in our local area? Because we need those sales tax dollars.
We sure do. And I get a good feeling that we're going to have a great holiday season. I think one of the barometers is starting this weekend with all these holiday shows, and already I'm seeing and hearing just, you know, people excited about to get out, and you know, at the OLC, the Chris Kindle, all the churches, everybody's having something, and already they're having great crowds. So I think we're going to have a great year. I think getting the election over, I think that is one thing, you know, I think it's going to be a great year. And again, you know, you and I say this all the time. I say it all is support locally. Get out there and support these local. I know some things you have to order, whatever it may be, but whatever you can do, support local, because it's so important for this community.
It is critical. If you can buy local and keep those dollars circulating here local, that is very, very important. The Chamber has some events coming up. Why don't you talk a little bit about
those? Well, we've got some great events coming up. The first thing I wanted to talk about real quickly is, you know, I've talked to you about our Leadership Institute, which we started last year, which is just create an opportunity for local, maybe younger, but not younger leaders, potential leaders. I got to be careful how I say that.
Now, my definition of younger now is anybody under 65.
Yes,
so yeah.
Yes, me
but
too.
But what is the average age of these people, or what are the ages of
well,
the people?
You know what? We have some folks, you know, 20s to 40s to 50s. You know, we have all over the place. And you know what's really interesting?
It's really people that are moving up in their career. So
yes.
Sometimes you can do that really quickly, and sometimes you can't do that till you're in your 40s.
But let me give you an example, though, that what's really interesting. The gentleman, Scott Ruffner, who's the new head of Pepsi, Freshman Service Pepsi here, which is, of course, a big part of our community with the Vecchi family. He moved into town a year ago, and he says, I want to do this because I want to get to know the community. Mm-hmm. I want to get immersed in the community. I want to understand what goes on here. He came out from out east, so he's in there. And it's a great mixture. Everybody from Titan, Blessing, John Wood, TI Trust, all sorts of people are in here. We've had two sessions. One was on the history of the community, where Dick Wellman and Reg Ankerman and Phil Conover spoke. So you
oh
can imagine
my
that.
God, what a trio.
It was great, and we get more comments about that, because a lot of people don't understand the history of Quincy or what goes on here. I learn something every day. So this week, November 12th, we meet every month, once a month, half a day in the morning. We got a very interesting, it's called Navigating the Civic Community. We've got a panel that's going to be at City Hall on Tuesday for our class of 20. It's going to include the mayor, Jeff Mays, who's got a lot of experience in political realm.
Brett Austin, behind the scenes.
Yes, and you know, from the state and from other federal agencies. And then Brett Austin
from the
county board. And then Mark Philpott with the Adams County, or I'm sorry, not the Adams County, the Quincy Park District.
Yeah.
And we're gonna talk about, you know, what goes on, how things get done, how the sausage is made, I guess. It's a very difficult, especially now you've been hearing
the birth
a lot of things.
And death of a roundabout.
Yes, that
was a pretty good example of how, you know, people got outraged at what they felt was ridiculous spending and really made their commentary heard and blew up those aldermen's phone lines, which, you know, part of me feels sorry for them because, golly gee, they don't make, you know, it is slightly paid, but it's mostly a volunteer job. But how else are you going to tell people? And boy, they went from, we're going to spend $2.6 million as our share to, we're giving nothing. Now, Adams County Board will have a response to that on Tuesday night, I'm sure. But, you know, it's interesting because the negotiations have to come now again, and they're basically starting from scratch. All this trial and tribulation, all this social media angst, all of this reporting by the straight media like WTAD, et cetera, and now we're basically back to square one.
Started in 2019 when it was all agreed upon.
When it was all agreed upon,
and the money was there. The money has been sitting there for years, and no one said a word. You know, my feeling is you got to, if you're going to be in those positions, first of all, that's why you elected you. And also, you make a decision. That money was there. you know, to fix that area. They're going to have to fix that area somehow, some way.
Right.
Whoever
it
is.
And it will be fixed.
And will be fixed. And again, roads in Quincy, I know that's a big issue, but have you driven around and seen all the construction going on and what this is? It's a very good time. They're putting more money into this. Mm-hmm. It's $1 million a block, folks.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot of money.
It takes a lot to...
It's a lot of money, yeah, to fix these streets.
It's
exciting, and we're moving in the right direction, but...
This is what these leaders are learning
exactly.
about, how it's fixed. And the thing of it is, like, you know, no offense, but this woman came in, she's a local business owner, and she just doesn't understand. And she threw this big piece of, you know, pothole down, and she made this big fuss about the city needs to fix its streets. She was talking about a state road, you know? I mean, don't make a complete jack out of yourself. Try to at least find out whose jurisdiction
yes,
is it.
Yes, and find out the facts. You know, I think one of the things that will happen is when they get started on Broadway, I think that might end a lot of the... I think a lot of people understand that. But here's what everybody needs to accept. Broadway being fixed might be a two-year process.
Yeah,
and we're going to be a lot of roads going to a lot of different streets. So just understand, but we need it because we've let stuff go for so long.
Exactly.
But so the Leadership Institute, we're excited about that. It means every month it's really important for the community, for our young leaders, and for the businesses.
After hours.
Yeah, and then we got a business after hours on the 14th at Mercantile. This is always great events. Come by Mercantile.
Kind of part of the community foundation.
And a community foundation is going to be honored there. I know they're doing some things with the community foundation. But also the importance of businesses showing up, being able to meet other businesses. This is a great time to have a drink, little food, and find out what other businesses are doing. We do this as a networking. It's to meet people. This is a small community, and people will help you. I tell businesses all the time, come by, learn from somebody, ask questions, and you'll meet people, and it'll help your business. Probably even get some sales leads out of it if you're a business. So we do that on the business after hours at Mercantile next week, and then finally, Mary, we're really excited. The Young Professionals Group. That the chamber runs is just a fantastic group, and they started this three or four years ago. They do a celebrity bartender event, and it's at Ratskeller on the 20th, it's a fundraiser for the Good News of Quincy. And what better fundraising than for the Good News of Quincy through the Herald Wig and helping families during the holidays? And they raise, I think, $3,000 or $4,000 every year, and they have an event, and they bring the families in. And so if you can, go online to our website. You get more information. I forget, the tickets are like $20, but it includes some drinks, and they have silent auction. But it's a great event, raising money at a needed time in a community for the holidays.
And you can, of course, tip your favorite bartender, and the more money you give, they will have bragging rights, and the money all goes to the Good News for Christmas campaign, which mm-hmm. is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Mary. It's always great to
be
here.
By. It is so great to see you. And I stay around. I got to ask you a question when we go to commercial break. But speaking of commercial break, the IRSA Farmers Cooperative is always happy to provide us with farm market information. Let's try once more to make connection with the IRSA Farmers Cooperative. Good morning. How do the farm markets look today? Still getting crickets up there. Okay. Something's gone horribly awry, but that's okay. There's always a ray of sunshine. When something goes wrong, something always goes right, and that right is Kristen Lay being here from the Quincy Family YMCA. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm good. Your boss is apparently a very busy man. He's
apparently
late for his appointment.
First week, I tell ya.
You can't. Haven't you got him trained yet?
Not yet. We're only a couple days in, so.
That is so true. Curtis Sethler will be joining us in just a moment, but Kristen Lay is here. We talk a lot about the turkey run. The early enrollment, the early deadline to get the reduced rate is coming up on Friday, tomorrow.
Yes.
So how are registrations looking?
Very good. I think the last time I was on here, you know, I was, you know, cool, calm, and collected. I was like, oh, they'll speed up, but the closer it gets, the more nervous I got. And we got probably about 250 registrations overnight last night. So the numbers are looking better. So we are very excited. Everyone waits to that last minute to get that that deal. So we'll have a lot more. We'll be right over 1,200, almost 1,500 by the deadline.
But that's only half of where you want to be.
I know, but that's okay. I'm telling you, people will show
up. Procrastinators.
They do. But we would love to save you $10. So make sure that you sign up by Friday.
That is true. You can save a lot of money by signing up for Friday. Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked extensively about what this money does. And so, but let's go over it again until Curtis, you know, gets here. Uh-huh. One of the things, the Y is, the YMCA is a fluid organization just like others. There's no thing that says you have to have an ice skating rink or a rappelling wall or a, mm-hmm. you know, a flag football field, or you have to have a baseball diamond or anything. There's no one way to build a Y. No. Quincy's Y has a lot of stuff. You have all kinds of outdoor athletic fields and facilities and outdoor athletic walking spaces and places where people can do different pull-ups and push-ups and all kinds of stuff like that. A lot of people maybe don't know about that.
No. So, you know, the unique thing about the YMCA in general is, yes, we are a national YMCA and we're incorporated with that. But the beauty of the national YMCA is almost they kind of let you do your own thing when you're mm-hmm. in your own building, which is awesome. So do they give you great ideas about programs and all of these things in kind of a cookie cutter version? Absolutely. But you can obviously make that your own as well. So while our Y looks very different from other Ys, we are pretty traditional as well. So we offer all of the youth sports. We have, you know, the workout facility, which is what a lot of people use the Y for. The other biggest thing we do is childcare. And that's where a lot of our mission work happens, is our childcare. That's where the scholarships are given. That's where a lot of our Y stories come out of, where we are able to give scholarships to families that not necessarily would be able to afford it. But we will never turn anyone away with the inability to pay, and we're very proud about that.
That is so critically important. And, you know, childcare is an extreme need. Now we've got Amazon coming, okay, all these construction workers. And then a year from now, people will be moving here to take these jobs with Amazon. So you have to be prepared. Are there plans to expand your childcare?
I think there's always plans to expand. We're always trying to look for, you know, more space. How can we do more? Even if it isn't in our traditional childcare, how can we offer different programs for all demographics? So not every kid is going to want to come play flag football, and that's okay. But what can we do and what can we offer for them? So I think it's so important that we don't just do the traditional, because the world just isn't traditional necessarily anymore. And how can we offer these unique situations?
Okay. Hopefully, I thought I saw him walk by, but apparently the door hasn't, or he's not in here. I don't know. I think our receptionist is off today, which is one of our huge problems here. But let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue to discuss the YMCA, and we'll hopefully have Curtis Sethler here with us to talk about his vision for the Y. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Curtis Sethler has arrived. He doesn't even know he's late. Isn't that amazing about him?
Just don't tell him.
Don't tell him. He knew he was late. Okay.
So much with traffic and everybody wanting to meet the new guy.
That's right. Well, you're right. You have to be. You can't say, "Oh, I'm so glad to meet you," and then, "Oh, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Curtis Sethler. A lot of people know you through your work on the Quincy Public School Board. You're an elected official there. You don't get paid for that.
Nope.
You were the director of Young Life here in Quincy for many years, but now you've stepped back or to transitioning away from that post, right? You're going to just be a volunteer for them because you have a small business in town. We'll give that a plug.
Yep.
The Axe Company.
Yeah. Quincy Axe Company, Experience Quincy.
Okay. So you're still doing those.
Yeah.
Of course. And now you're the director of the Quincy Family YMCA. You are so motivated and driven by youth that this is, to me, from the outside looking in, a perfect match. But the Y faces certain challenges, and you came on board, I'm sure, knowing some of those challenges.
Yeah.
So what do you see as the vision, your vision for the Y in the next year, 5 years, 10 years?
Yeah, I think everybody has a Y story, right? Like, the Y has been just such a staple of Quincy for so long. I mean, location alone, it's like right in the middle of Quincy, right in the middle of youth in Quincy with all the schools and everything right around it. So I think, you know, for me, it's just really reestablishing the Y as that like centerpiece of youth and family, that we all have those stories that what it can be, what it was, and what we believe it really is at its core. It's just getting back to those things. There's been things over the years with me and Kristen have talked a ton about staff transition and leadership and things like that. You know, we've kind of eroded some community trust. So for us, it's going to be about stacking small wins and doing things that we can early to really build back that trust, and then quality programming, quality family things that we've, the Y is known for, getting back to those things, you know, and do that in the short term and the long term.
You talked about erosion of trust, and it's not that they don't believe in your mission, but when people change or when people leave, even if they leave for a perfectly good reason, like I need to better myself and make more money for my family, it's like, oh, my favorite person at the Y is no longer there, or oh, the leader of the Y is gone, wonder what happened, or oh, and you start to wonder. Plus, let's be honest, Planet Fitness, the Croc Center, Sheridan Swim Club, you know, not-for-profits, for-profits, there are so many competitors now.
Yeah.
When the Y was built back in the 70s, it was the shining pinnacle on the hill there, you know, and was going to be the only place really around where you could do all of that. And guess what? It was very successful, and people said, you know, hey, you know, I could actually do this and make money, and I wouldn't have to be nice to poor kids or anything. I just go open a place and make money. There's nothing wrong with that. But it puts the Y in a unique situation.
Well, I think the thing that, I mean, we have a ton of organizations or a ton of businesses in town that do fitness really well. And I love that we have that. I know people who have multiple gym memberships. I work out a couple different places too, and that's fine. Like, I love that we have so many options for fitness in Quincy. The thing that the Y does, though, that is so different is the youth and family piece. Like, yeah, we're a fitness center, but it's so much bigger than that too. From the classes that we offer to the programming for kids, for after school care, for summer camps, for all of these things that Kristen knows way more about than I do. You know, that's the thing that sets the Y apart. And while there are all these other options for fitness and other things in town, the one place where you can get all of that in one spot is at the YMCA.
But you can't go swimming.
Nope. Pools are expensive.
Yes. And I also talked to Kristen last month when she was on, and she said there's really no five-year plan or any plan to put the pool back in because of just the extreme retrofitting and everything.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, swimming pools are a math problem. I had a good friend tell me one time when we were talking about swimming pools and wanting to put one in, he's like, you don't need a pool, you need a friend with a pool. And that's fine. But it is, ultimately, it comes down to math. You know,
an empty hole where a lot of money goes in.
For sure.
Talk to the Quincy Park District. There's no way to make money on a pool.
There's not. No. And when you're talking about a nonprofit whose main focus is youth and family programming, you know, what expense can you really spare? You know, at what is the ROI on that? And ultimately, what is the cost benefit to, you know, having something like that? You know, if you can run a nonprofit and you have the cash on hand to like just throw it into a swimming pool, that's awesome. Like, more power to you. That's not the Y right now, and that's okay.
Is the problem though that the pool wasn't kept up over time? I mean, is it a, you know, I'm not trying to get you to go back and point fingers at people that were there 10 years ago. That's not productive. But suddenly, the pool became unusable only because it needed to be maintained and upgraded, and the money wasn't there for that. Should more have been done to project that out?
Yeah, I can only give you my opinion from the outside, and I think anything that isn't maintained at a really high level is going to deteriorate. That's structures, that's swimming pools, that's organizations, businesses, whatever. So I do think that, you know, maybe maintenance was an ongoing issue. Kristen could probably speak more to this too. But ultimately it comes down to like, what is the net gain from having something like that? And when it's ultimately a very significant net loss, it doesn't matter the condition that it's in, it has to get cut because you can't just throw money away in the nonprofit world forever. It won't work.
The not-for-profit world is very interesting because, you know, the Quincy Park District gets tax dollars. They can run a pool and lose money every year, and they do every year. And guess what? They plan on losing money every year. They don't start. The Park District doesn't have a board meeting every month and go, what are we going to do to make a lot of money at Indian Mounds Pool this year? They don't have that discussion.
Right.
They say, we're going to lose a lot of money. Are we willing to offer this service to children? Yes, here's the tax dollars we're going to allot to it.
Right.
You have all private donors that are giving money. And so you have to say, every dollar we put into maybe building a new pool or doing whatever, because at this point it's new construction, would have to almost be the way it goes. Of course, you know, Kristen and I have talked. So now you have to say, well, we need to take those same dollars. Yes, we can't offer that swimming component, but we can offer this different component for youth. So where do you see the Y growing in its youth sports if swimming isn't one of your sports now?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think just the quality of programming that we do offer. We've just hired a new sports director who will be coming in here in the next few weeks. We're really going to let him run with that and see what sports we do develop. I'm sure there will be additions. There may be subtractions of as far as like what the quality or what the actual physical programming we offer is. I can tell you that the quality of programming we offer, you will continue to see that increase every year.
Okay. And, you know, it does take a lot of volunteers. You mentioned you have a director of sports programs, and they can say, well, we want to have these volleyball leagues or these soccer leagues or these basketball leagues or these t-ball leagues or these baseball leagues. And the Y has always been great in all of that, but it takes volunteer coaches. Now, you've been in the business of trying to get adults involved in children's activities. Yeah. It's not easy, is it?
It's not. And that's where I think you, you know, anything, you have to provide undeniable value. And I think that's the piece that a lot of organizations and a lot of, I mean, a lot of different things just miss. Like, what is the value you get from being involved with this as a volunteer? You know, in Young Life, we tried to communicate that. Like, it's a life-altering experience to be involved in kids' lives. And it's the same way when you coach. Like, there's a reason I've coached my daughter at the Y for the last 4 years, and I coached my older daughter before that. You know, one, I love basketball, but two, I love the investment that I get to make in kids' lives. And I think when we dig down to it, I think we can all stack hands that, like, the erosion of adults investing in kids' lives is a large reason we see the problems that we have in youth today. Like, kids go entire days without speaking to an adult in any type of meaningful manner. I mean, we can change that by getting involved as coaches, by getting involved as officials, as other volunteers within programs like the Y or any other, you know, incredible nonprofit here in town. Like, we see kids' lives start to improve. And then we're like, oh, well, that kid's acting better. Yeah, because they have an adult who actually gives a crap, like investing in them, walking alongside them. You know, and adults then get more back out of that because they get to see that impact too. There's no more tangible way to see, you know, a life change than to mentor a kid, to coach a team, to get involved as a volunteer in some capacity. We need more people to do that, not for the benefit of kids alone, but for the benefit that we're going to see in the adult population too. We're all meant to live for a whole lot more than we're living for, and we leave a whole lot on the table by not doing enough or not doing anything because we're scared to be awkward or I don't know what I'm doing in coaching. That's great. Most people don't either. One thing that I can tell you that we're going to do is through coaching, we're going to set standards and we're going to equip coaches a lot better. I didn't have a great experience with that last year as far as a coaches meeting went. Me and Kristen have talked in detail on that. So we're going to set coaches up for success. Even if they don't know what they're doing, if they just want to put time in, like, we're going to make sure they're successful in what they do.
Oh, I can cross over to his school board experience. Disgruntled parent, come and teach the class today and see how easy Junior and Susie are to deal with. But, you know, you've got to speak up. It's hard. It's going to be hard for me, so you just have to excuse me. But you work so much with youth in an administrative policy capacity through the Quincy Public Schools, and you see the problems there. And now you are the head of an agency that can help solve some of those problems, not during the school day, but with after-school programs, with sports groups, or with reading recovery groups, or with things that happen at the Y. And so you mentioned the importance of the active engagement of adults and youngsters. How do you get parents more involved with their kids? Not every parent will.
Right.
They just don't have the skills, or they don't. It's not that they don't care. I don't want to say they don't care. Everybody wants the best for their kids, but they don't know how to provide it because they didn't have it themselves. So if they can pair, if you can get those parents to come along with a trusted coach that knows the parenting skills, that knows the coaching skills, is that the partnership you're going to try to form in the future?
Yeah, and I think anytime I've coached a team at the Y, like, I know parents don't know what they're doing, but, like, we get an hour with a kid a week. You know, as a team, like, we had our team practice for an hour a week. And I would spend time at the end of practice with parents, that 5 minutes while kids are running or doing layups or whatever, while I have them set up. I'm fortunate my oldest daughter's helped me coach the last few years, which has been great because she plays basketball at QHS now. So the other girls that I coach love having a QHS basketball player as part of their team. But I would spend time with the parents of, like, hey, this is bigger than just here. This is, these are the principles we're teaching them.
It's bigger than basketball.
Everything is. It's bigger. Yeah. Again, like, life is so much bigger and so much better than what we give ourselves credit for and how we try to get, you know, maybe out of doing the harder things because it's uncomfortable to do them. But I would spend time with those parents and be like, hey, if you're at home, like, your kid can lay on the floor and do form shooting, just throw a basketball up in the air. You don't need a rim. You don't need outside. They can lay in their room and do this and teach them just the smaller principles to do that. That engages parents with their kids. It keeps kids active, which is also awesome, and it keeps them engaged in sports. Like, I love basketball, my absolute favorite sport. Like, I want everybody to play that. I do. Like, my oldest daughter played all the way through the Y. My youngest daughter's done the same thing. It's been fantastic. My middle daughter runs. I'm not sure where that came from. But you know, seeing that ability to get parents involved and plugged back in too. And again, that's what the Y does different than any place else in town is youth and family and that engagement between the two. From my experience in Young Life and on the school board and with Adams County CEO now teaching, like I can tell you that the biggest issue affecting kids is disengaged parents, and it's the disintegration of the nuclear family. It is. 99% of the problems that kids face, in my experience, come from lack of family support at home in one way or another. And it's not because parents don't want their kids to be successful. It is exactly what you said. They either don't know, they're too busy, or they're too scared to try something because being a friend to your kid is more important than being a parent. You know, my kids will tell you, like we know dad loves us and dad's our friend most of the time, but dad is going to do what is best for us.
Yeah. It's very critical. And the other thing, you know, I hope you will be able to do, because as people delay marriage longer and longer and delay childbearing longer and longer, there are a lot of 20-somethings out there who really have a desire to be around children on a limited basis.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know how you recruit those people, but those people are primed to be the assistant coach, to be the assistant this, to be the helper of this. Or maybe to be the coach themselves if they come out of a sports background, and the parent who doesn't know anything about how to actually dribble, how to teach somebody to dribble, or teach somebody how to kick a field goal, or teach somebody how to spike a volleyball over a net, but they can get them to practice on time, they can help them run. Like you said, you're teaching them skills that aren't really, yes, they're a sports skill, but it's more than that.
No, it's doing hard things, right? As a culture, we don't like to do hard things. I mean, we can order whatever we want on Amazon. It'll be here tomorrow, maybe 2 days, with the center coming to town, maybe even quicker than that.
Today.
Yeah, we could have it later today. Who knows? But we live in this instant culture where everything's easy. And the fact of the matter is, like, life isn't easy. You know, it's hard in a lot of different ways, and it's hard for other, you know, different people on different scales. And that's okay.
Okay. Well, folks, if you'd like to make a contribution to the Y, join the Turkey Run. You can register at QuincyYMCA.net. Yes. Tomorrow's the deadline for the early bird registration. And just stay tuned, because we're going to talk a lot more about the Y and Curtis Sethler and his vision for what the Y will become in the months to come. Thank you so much for stopping by today.
Thank you.